Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Retrofitting and sustainability are the future of construction. Visit sullis.ie/greenskills to find your course. Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Discover further education and training opportunities in your local community. Visit thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
Now, if you're considering investing in an electric car in the new year, there are a couple of things you should consider before you start looking at the various models available. So here to help us do that is motoring journalist Bob Flavin. Good morning, Bob. Good
morning,
to see
Claire.
You again. And we did an interesting thing here. We asked, and we started this yesterday, we asked people who have electric cars to give advice to people who don't have electric cars but who are thinking about getting one.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a wise thing to do, do you think? Do you think there are things that people will learn once they have one that they couldn't possibly know beforehand?
Yes, there's a three-month bit that you will go through for the first 3 months of ownership where you'll have to learn everything from scratch. It's relearning, not how to drive the car, but relearning how to use a car. There's mm-hmm. nothing, there's no sort of familiar anchor point that you would normally do with a petrol diesel car.
All right, let's take a look at what people have been saying. Charles bought an Ioniq 5 last March. His main concern is that the provision of charging points won't keep up with the increase of EVs on the roads. Do we know the answer to that, Bob? Are they coming?
There's a big problem is that ESB hasn't invested in the network because we didn't have a demand for a network. So we only had a handful of cars up until about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Now there's a burgeoning demand for them. The biggest problem is queues at choke points. Along motorways, bank holidays, this time of the year, there's going to be queues where there is charge points. So at the point where there's only two charge points, we need four and we need them to be faster. Apple pulled a great scheme years ago where they improved the speed of the charger, not the amount of battery you have. And people stopped complaining about batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, that was the biggest problem. It's the same problem with EVs. If the EV charged up in 10 minutes, you'd stop complaining about how fast the charge is going to be. But they don't. It's 45 minutes at a charger. And when there's a queue with three or four people and you're number five on that queue, then you can imagine, even if someone's going to be really nice and only spend 10 or 15 minutes on a charger in front of you, you're still talking about an extra hour, an
Absolutely.
Hour and a half in your time.
Edward in Dundalk has been in touch. He has had an EV for a little under 6 months. And he says, we have a charger at our house, but one thing I wished I knew is how easy it can be to forget to charge your car. It might sound simple, but if you wake up realising you forgot to charge the car and you've a long distance to travel that morning, you can be left very stuck. It has happened to me a couple of times already. I've concluded that a single person would be much better off having a petrol or diesel car or a plug-in hybrid. So you need a wife to remind you, Edward, to plug in your car.
Yeah, that happens a lot of people. It happens to me as well, the same thing. Plus, if you share a parking space, like we have another car at home, my wife parks where the charge point is normally. And when we have an electric car, we swap spaces so I can charge the car. Now, if I go home and she's already parked, I have to get her to move the car so I can pull into the space so I can charge. But if I don't do that, I completely forget about it. It's gone out of my mind until the next morning. I only have 10% battery left.
So it happens. Now, going back to what Charles said, because Charles gave us lots of information about his experience since March when he got an EV. He says that there's a massive difference between charging times depending on where you're charging. So supermarket, hotel, motorway, stations. And you have to know all of that before you head out to charge the car.
That's very much depending on how long you're going to be at that charge point as well, because you could aim for what we would call a destination charger, which would be a hotel charger. Most of those chargers are 7.5 kilowatts. You're going to have to charge over 8 to 10 hours. It's an overnight charge. These are normal chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Some on-street chargers are 22 kilowatts, but your car has an onboard charger, which is a different speed. Now, the maximum charge your car might pull from AC, which is normal three-pin plugs, might be 7.5 kilowatts. So it doesn't matter how fast that charger is on the street, you're still only going to get 7.5 kilowatts until you reach a fast charger, what's called a DC charger. They're the fast chargers. And I wouldn't count a 50 kilowatt charger as a fast charger anymore. That's pretty standard
Low.
Charger. We need 150 kilowatts to be a fast charger these days.
Richard has been on to us from Limerick. My electric car claims a real world range of 514 kilometres. In reality, it's max 350 kilometres on motorway driving. And in very cold weather, it's really 325 kilometres, standard motorway driving, he says. So if you're driving from Cork or Limerick to Dublin, you have to factor in a stop to charge.
Yep, that is the true for all of them. And it very much depends on weather. It very much depends on what equipment you're using in the car. Heated seats, heated steering wheel, air conditioning, they all take their toll on electric cars. The weight of the car is also in it, because you're carrying two kids to the school and you're dropping off someone else, you've got four people in the car, it gets heavier and so it does worse mileage. And then your speed is the biggest factor. 120 kilometres an hour on a motorway, the air pressure on the front of the car will literally just zap that battery. Really will.
You're not You'll selling it here, Bob. So I have to be freezing in the car and drive slowly and that'll be grand.
To go the max distance, to get that beautiful range that the car comes out from. It's like the old days where they said 40 miles to the gallon was quite normal. And of course, the car would only do 20. It's quite normal. It's very dependent on how you drive it, though. If you drive really fast for a sustained distance, you will get a lot less mileage than you will if you drive in a regular sort of city environment.
Okay. That doesn't bother this next listener who lives in rural Kerry. Bought the electric vehicle last year. I have a home charger. I drive to work every day in it. I have no problem charging on longer trips, for example, to Dublin. My car drives approximately 350 kilometres on a full charge in the summer and 280 kilometres right now in the freezing temperatures. I wish I knew how easy it would be before I bought one, and I might have ordered one sooner.
That's true. That, if you can make it work, if you can make the mind shift, which a lot of people can do, electric cars are brilliant, or battery powered cars are brilliant. I drove here this morning in a Volvo electric from Portlaoise. I only started out with 80% charge. I just charged it to 80 last night. Drove up here, I have 35% left after sustained driving on the motorway, and I'm going to drive home in one go, I hope, fingers crossed.
You see, that's what I don't... I don't like that you have to cross your fingers on 35% because you're not sure you're going to get to Portlaoise.
No, I'm not, because it depends on the temperature and conditions and stuff outside. And of course, we're dealing with freezing temperature. It is 0 degrees outside now still, and it was -7 this morning in Portlaoise. So we have this sustained cold, which means the heaters are always on and everything's running inside.
And that's
the car.
That's what the problem is in cold weather with an electric car. You're using more power to keep yourself warm inside.
Yeah. Especially if it's not defrosting before you start. If you're trying to defrost the car on the electric, you know, at the beginning where you're trying to put on the fans and make everything warm inside the car, you can do that while it's plugged in, but it still pulls from the battery. So you're still going to not have 100% in the morning. The thing is, you don't actually need 100% of your battery to go a distance.
Yeah.
You know, 70 or 80% will probably get you home anyway, no matter which distance you want to go.
That listener in Kerry, though, it sounds like most of the driving is a shortish commute to work. Mm. Is that really where the EV comes into its own?
That is the perfect conditions for EV. So if you're able to charge at home, drive to work and come home and charge again, you're in control for the first time in history of your fuel price. We've never had that before. We've only ever been able to buy it at petrol stations. You know, in living memory, it's always been petrol and diesel prices, and it's controlled by the petrol station. Right now, you're in control of your home charging prices. You can get a night rate meter, you can get a smart meter, you can go on to better tariffs, you can get solar panels, you can get battery technology, all to take you off the grid, or at least take your car off the grid, which means if you do it properly and you actually was to invest, cost about 20 grand to do this, but if you're actually invest in it, you could charge your car for free at home. It wouldn't cost you a penny.
If you're clever about it. Mm. Mary in Oldcastle says, my husband and I bought a second-hand Renault Zoe in 2019. I wish I'd known how easy it would be to drive. I was prejudiced against automatic cars before, but I have to admit now I love it. Vive la France. That's the other thing I suppose you have to factor in. If you're getting one, you're going to automatic.
Yeah. There's no gear. Well, there is a gearbox. There's one gear in the car, but essentially the drive shaft turns backwards to go backwards and turns forward to go forward and just turns faster. That's why there's so much torque in them. Now, I'm desperately lazy driving a car. I get disappointed when I see a manual car these days. And there's so few, this 12 months that I've been driving all of the press cars that are available, I think there's only been 2 manual cars in the whole year. Whereas 3 years ago, it was nearly exclusively manual. So it really has flipped over and people have become very lazy.
I thought now the petrol heads would like the gearbox.
Yeah, they would. And I would too. In a performance car, if I was on a track or I was doing something really nice, it's nice to be totally in control of your gears. And a good driver would really want that. But automatic cars and electric cars, that doesn't mix. Yeah. It's going to be a controlled gearbox.
Yvonne bought an EV in 2017. They had a nightmare trying to find a replacement part for it. And that part was really expensive. Do we need to be aware of that? Or is that because that's a 2017 model?
The older models, well, even the newer models, will have a problem with parts because they're not on the market very long. Most car companies make for demand. So they make a car, the car's produced, the car goes to the end user, they don't make parts for the car until they're required. So you could be waiting, particularly for the plastic outers. Tesla had this problem. They've all had a problem like this where they've had the outer plastic parts. They require molding in factories. So they only make enough to supply the actual cars. They don't make enough for spare parts. So you could be waiting for spare parts. It's worth getting your car inspected, heavily inspected, before you buy a secondhand car. Mm-hmm. Do a proper check on everything on the car because it can be written off in other countries. It doesn't apply here.
And our mechanics around the country, are they ready, willing and able now to deal with electric car models?
Willing and able, yes. Probably ready, some of them are, for sure. The ones, the retailers, the big dealerships would have spent a hell of a lot of money in training some of their mechanics in electric technology. And most of the car companies here would have sent those guys overseas for specialist training in dealing with the electric parts of electric cars. So most of the big dealerships would. A lot of the smaller dealers, or not maybe not smaller dealers, but a lot of smaller mechanics maybe have never come across an electric car yet because there's so few of them on the market and they're still mostly under warranty.
This one, my elderly mother bought an EV. We didn't realise we needed to rewire parts of the house at an additional cost so that the wall charger could be installed.
Yeah, it's a big job, yeah. It is.
You've heard of that happening before?
It's happened in multiple older houses. The older the house, the more chance of being single-phase electricity. You need dual-phase electricity, two-phase, three-phase is where businesses come into it. That's where you have your own kind of substation. But if you want to do something at home, it's dual-phase, unless you want to just charge with a three-pin plug, which is very dangerous.
Bob, thank you very much. No Bob problem. Flavin there on electric cars. We have music from Mick Flannery next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.